Welcome to the Ada Bible Church Beyond the Weekend podcast, where we debrief the sermon, focusing on extra points of connection and what there just wasn't time for in the message. We hope this podcast will encourage you to study God's word and grow your relationship with Him. You'll appreciate the conversation most if you've already heard the weekend sermon, and you can find that link in the show notes. Thanks for joining us for today's episode of Beyond the Weekend podcast. Well, thanks for joining us today for our final episode of the Confident series for the Beyond the Weekend podcast. I'm Amelia Rhodes, the Director of Discipleship Resources. Joining me today is my regular co-host, Stephen Lewis, our pastor of spiritual formation. Welcome. So, 4th of July is coming in a few days. What are you up to for the 4th? Any big family traditions?
There are, but we're not doing any of them this year. We are going to be dropping our daughter off at 3:30 in the morning at the airport so she can head to Belize with Lifeline the next day.
Yes.
Yes.
That reminds me. I also need to drop my daughter off at the airport at 3:30 in the morning to go to Belize on Saturday, but she's an adult, so she's going as a leader. How fun is that, though?
I'm very excited for Sophia. I'm less excited for my ability to get sleep, but I think that's part of being a parent. And so I just need to start adulting.
and be a great model.
Right.
As you drop her off. Yeah, that's exciting. We'll hang out with family the day before, but yeah, it'll be an early night because we'll drop her off. And I guess that's just encouragement as you're listening to this. We have a group of, I think it's about 40 students and leaders from our high school ministry. They're going to Belize. They'll be serving a couple different churches in Belize, doing a couple of different vacation Bible schools and doing some ministry in the area. And is this your daughter's first mission trip?
It is her first mission trip. I kept telling her that Luke asked if me to go along, like, hey, I need one more leader. And she was she did not find that funny. Which is how she feels about a lot of things I say.
It's fair. I think this will be my daughter's first time going as a leader, but she went twice as a student. Mm-hmm. And I just know this is really impactful for all the students who go. And so join us in praying for them this week as they go on that trip. But we have a great conversation today. Pastor Aaron joined us to talk about confident in our last sermon series. And we talked about family traits. So a little bit about our kids and family traits and Christ-likeness, the impact of the A to Z list, which has been fun to see. We talked about why we need spiritual practices. And then we had this powerful conversation about hope as our anchor. So we're excited for you to get to listen in on that conversation. Before we do, Stephen, give us a quick reminder of the sermon and where Aaron took us.
Yeah, it was a great ending to our confidence series. We talked about who we are, and that's where the A to Z list showed up, who we will be, and then what we do kind of to get ourselves ready for who we will be as well.
And that's where that hope plays in really big into that. So we'll jump into this conversation now. And then afterwards, stick around. We're going to let you know what's coming for the future, when the podcast will be back. We also have a little bit about the Ephesian culture that we never got to talk about and some fun facts about the name John. So a few things to wrap up. So let's listen to this conversation now. Well, welcome, Aaron. That was a great grand finale.
Oh, man. Yeah, I love this series.
This has just been a lot of fun. And I love how you started this one with a picture of a small Aaron.
Oh, yeah.
And your parents. There was an collective awe on Saturday night, man. I think.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking, so we all have kids, and you're talking about family resemblances throughout, you know, eventually with us looking like Christ in Christ-likeness. So I'm just curious, you both have kids. Have you ever looked at your kids and been like, oh, shoot, that's me? or maybe, oh, great, that's me.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, my kids all look like my wife. So if you're talking about resemblance, I mean, Katie has the best hair that you've ever seen in your life.
She does.
And my kids all have her hair. So they, you know, I got some good looking kids, and Katie is to blame for that. But in terms of like personality or quirks or things like that, something that people wouldn't think about me is that I'm actually very introverted. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean, like, I can be fun in public for a little while. I can, you know, talk to a whole bunch of people from the stage, and then I need a whole lot of downtime and alone time. And whenever I see that sort of thing in my kids, I'm like, ooh, sorry. That's definitely me. Because my wife is very much a people person. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, sorry, kids, for the introversion thing.
And then you come home and you have 5 kids.
But I
you
do.
Need the
yeah,
alone time.
I do.
That's not like, easy. Okay, sometimes. Yeah.
Do you just not go home sometimes? Like, you just drive in circles?
Just, you know, like, make a loop a little bit. Yeah, make a loop. Man, Here's my routine after preaching. I drive home, and believe it or not, well, no, this stands up. I get home usually before my family, which doesn't make sense because I'm driving all the way from Cascade. But my wife is so relational. She talks to everybody in the atrium. And so I usually beat them home and I go straight to a nap.
Yeah.
And I try to get like a power nap, like 10, 15 minutes. I don't take long naps just to try to like be ready. Cause yeah, you're right. I got all those kids and I want to show up well for my family. And, but yeah.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. Mm-hmm. How about you, Steven?
I feel like both my kids have pieces of me. I think Sophia has a lot of my personality and we're kind of wired the same way, but definitely Hudson looks the most like me. Yeah. Like people see him for the first time, they're like, oh my goodness, he is like a mini version of you. He's not as mini anymore either. He keeps getting taller, but he has this perfect red hair though that I'm so jealous
really
of.
Does.
Where did that come from?
Jacqueline's parents, Jacqueline's dad and brother have red hair. And then like the Lewis side has, like I have cousins that are all redheaded.
Really?
Okay. And, but none of my immediate family, so, but I'm really jealous about it. Cause it's just amazing. But I like you mentioned like you see your kids like when they do something. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like when my kids do something wrong, I'm like, ooh, that was for me too. And so I don't know, I'm not going to go into details here, but like that's, I feel like that when I see it the most, it's like, oh yeah, that's definitely, that's either young Steven or current Steven, you know, one of the two that's showing up there.
Yeah.
So
I know the feeling.
My daughter's 20 and she's like carbon copy.
Yeah, she is.
And the other day we walked into the YMCA early in the morning and the gal at the desk, very loud, too loud for that early in the morning, was like, well, there's a mother and daughter if I've ever seen one. I thought you guys were twins at first. And I always feel bad for my daughter because no 20-year-old wants to say they look like someone in their late 40s.
So, oh, that's funny.
And then my husband will
But you love to hear it, though.
She's like, it's great for you, Mom. Take the compliment.
It's because it's so early. That's why. Right?
But my husband often will be like, apple tree. Like, she'll do something or say something. He'll be like, we know where that comes
even
from.
Even your personalities, I feel like, are similar.
Yeah. So.
You want to know something funny? At least I think it's funny. This is not looks, but voice. And I showed a picture of my dad, but there was a time I was in high school and I was dating this girl and she called. And back in the day, this was the 90s, you know, so no cell phones, you know. If you wanted to talk to a girl, you had to like call her actual house and like probably talk to her mom.
You had to know their number.
You had to know their number.
Look it up or have it memorized.
And so this girl called, and this is a little bit of my dad. My dad just starts talking to her, pretending that he's me. And I'm telling you, he talked to her for like 15 minutes and she couldn't tell that it wasn't me. She thought it was him. So sometimes it's the voice that has the similarity.
Yes. Back when you didn't have caller ID and you didn't know.
Exactly.
Well, all of this points towards us being children of God and that we're to look more and more like Christ, grow in Christ-likeness, which is part of our church mission to help people grow in Christ-likeness so that they should be able to look at us and be like, oh yeah, that's like Jesus. I see it. You sound like him. You talk like him. You act like him. And the A to Z identity list, so powerful. Such great response to that. Where did you come up with that good idea? Just kidding.
Well, here with you, Amelia, that's where we...
That was fun to see that live brainstorm. Mm-hmm. And then we're sitting in the room with people behind the camera who made that happen. This was team effort last week. Mm-hmm. Our comms team, which our comms director, Mike, is sitting here in the room today. And Jack, one of our video guys. I mean, all of that. We just kept coming up with more ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was really, really excited about that because we do actually plan things out pretty far in advance. Like, we're not picking what worship songs we're going to do like that week, you know, videos are made in advance. But this was one of those times that we got talking about this A to Z list and it was like, oh man, we should do this, you know? And so everybody just kind of adapted and made it happen. And I was really, really happy with how the whole service turned out. And especially that, that piece for people to take home and, and try to really reflect on it. It was pretty cool.
It was fun because I was at Bella Vista this weekend.
Yeah.
And for the first half of the list, I was just watching you talk about the list. And I was like, I'm like, wait a minute, I should probably look around and see how engaged people are.
Yeah,
you know, like
I
probably should do my job instead of just sit here and be a you know, bystander. And so I was looking around and people stayed engaged, you know, and seemed like it was really impacting them.
Yeah.
Then I was also told Amelia this a little bit earlier, but I was walking out and people were grabbing the bookmarks. And I saw one lady took like 5 or 6, but she was counting them. She didn't just grab a stack. She was
grabbing
like,
them for people.
Like she had people in mind. And that was really cool to see too.
We'll link to all of that again in the show notes, but I've had 2 emails already this morning from people wondering, how can I get, we ran out of bookmarks, how can I get a PDF of it? Can you share me the link again? And so I hope that means that people will engage with it, because it's not just a one and done. This is something that I've done in my own practice for probably a decade. And I'll, in moments where I'm spiraling, really sit through, what do I know God says about me? As many as I can think of per letter. Like you shared 26, which is overwhelming. Yeah. But if you really sit and do this.
Oh yeah, you can come up with a pretty long list.
Very long list. Mm-hmm. So
it was cool though, because I think I'd seen the list on Thursday maybe, but as I was listening to it on Sunday, you got to D and I was like, I don't know that I need any more. Because it's like adopted, beloved, chosen, and delivered. Yeah. I'm like, I can live off that for a long time. Wow. You know, it's just so powerful, and just 4 of them, let alone the whole list. And so I've been kind of repeating those back to myself
since then. I heard some cool stories. Like you know, got emails. I talked to somebody in the atrium at Cascade who works with college athletes. It's like, I can't remember the name of the ministry, and he's probably listening and he's probably like, come on, Aaron. It's like Athletes in Action or Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Yeah. There it is. There it is. But he was talking about how he's going to lead, you know, a bunch of college athletes. He's like, I'm going to use that list. And, you know, and then another, a mom that Katie and I are friends with was talking about how she's going to, her and her mom do like a kind of like a Bible study of sorts with their, with a group of kids, and they're going to, you know, use that. So I just love hearing how people are taking it and, you know, using it to try to encourage others in their faith, and also personally kind of going deep like you're describing. It's pretty cool.
It's, I've also done the reverse. This is just, it's just all a memory trick. It's just
like
a way.
Z to A.
Well, I suppose I could if I really thought about it, but I've also done like, who is God A to Z and his character. So in times, and I loved that at the end of the sermon, you said, because I am, I can. And a lot of that draws out of God's character because he's almighty, the burden bearer, the comforter, the deliverer, that he's eternal. So you can also do
She's
that.
She's thought about this.
And that's the thing, like when you spend time and you think about it in the moments, when you're panicking or you're anxious or you're afraid. I've talked to people who've done this and they're going through an MRI machine.
They're, have you ever done that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, you have.
I got some knees.
I didn't know I had anxiety until I had like,
Right. So they're like, you can't move.
MRI.
I didn't want to move until you told me not to.
Right? No, like, all I can think about is moving.
And Try not to breathe so loud. Okay, sorry, Amelia, back to you.
So I know people who've used that in situations like that where they can't, they can't have anything with them, and they will sit there and they will think through, you know, pray A to Z through who they are in Christ, or who got to calm, to calm their heart, to focus on. I mean, clearly you're there because something's, you know, going on with your body. And so for them to use that as a way to focus on God. So I just think it's a really powerful thing, not just a gimmick.
Yeah.
But if we really think about who we are because of God's love for us, and that's what it means to be a child. It can be transformative.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we talk about any spiritual discipline, it's actually designed to make us more like Christ. It's not because that thing itself is super valuable, right? And so it's like, it's not that there's any special magic in writing a list from A to Z, but it's what does that do to our heart in a moment where we need it is where the power comes. And that's so much of understanding our identity, right? It's like, what can draw us back to our identity in Christ? That's what people have been practicing Sabbath for, is I'm rooted in who Jesus says I am. Like, I don't, I'm not the producer. God's the producer. I'm faithful. You know, solitude, that same thing. What's God going to bring to mind when you start trusting in him and give him the space? And any of these practices help us understand who we are and what God wants from us.
Yeah.
And they're just so valuable.
I think I've heard you talk about the vim. Like there's, we have the vision of what we can become. Yep. There's the intention of what we can become. And then there's the means. Yep. I think that comes from Dallas Willard. Mm-hmm. And we can have the vision of being like Christ. We can have the intention to do it. But this, something like a practice or a practice of A to Z gives us the means to actually then follow through. And
That. I mean, it's like drills in sports. I mean, it's the same idea.
And it really connects with that last point in the message, because it's like the people who have the hope purify themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, so if you have that hope inside of you, you're doing the means, you know, of the vim, vision, intention, and means. You're doing the means to purify yourself and become more like Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the whole identity and the A to Z and different ways to, you know, understand you're God's child is really all about a means to becoming more Christ-like and recognizing who you are and then living out of that identity.
That's good.
Let's talk for a minute about hope, because that was something you didn't get to in the sermon.
Yeah, not too much.
We tossed around a little bit earlier in the week, but John says that all of us who have this hope will purify ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's something that you already have, the hope. Yeah. And so let's maybe chat a little bit about what this hope is and why that makes a difference in how we live and purify ourselves.
Yeah.
It seems like in the Bible, right, there are two elements to hope. And it's not like it's talking about one or the other, but it's about the, like I have hope that in the death and resurrection of Jesus that I am secure and I can have the life God created for me now and later. Mm-hmm. But I also have hope in, and you talked about this, the restoration of all things.
Yeah.
Right. And so we have both this personal and then kind of this like, full redemption hope. And so if you live out of that, your life is very different.
Yeah.
And that's the grounding, is like, oh, everything's going to be okay in the end. And I'm okay too. And I'm not more than okay, but like God loves me. And that seems to be, I think, the hope that John's talking about. We see Paul talk about it, other people as well.
Yeah.
It's not just a hope. It's the hope that the gospel is hung on. And it's in the Bible, hope isn't wishful thinking. You know, we often will use the word of like, oh, I hope this happens.
Yeah, I hope the Lions win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah,
right?
That kind of thing.
Great wishful thinking. Mm-hmm. But it's confident expectation that what God has promised will come true, that he, because of his character, he will do what he says. And we keep a couple dictionaries in my office, which is just a fun tip. Like, often we're looking words up in these theological dictionaries and what do they say, but they also can be a means of study. And this compact dictionary of theological terms I picked up today to read what it said about hope, because it gives this long definition, but also then passages to go and look up. And I like that it said it's the optimistic view and anticipation of the future based on the conviction that God is sovereignly directing the course of the world to fulfill his promised consummation of all things in Christ. Mm. The object of hope is crucial. It can't be human effort. So it's where we're not trying to earn it or worldly resources. But the hope's object is not seen. It's placed in God through the gospel, which promises eternal life and future rewards. And it goes on to say, you know, give these characteristics of hope that it results in patience and endurance and tenacity. But also, I loved this, the diminishing of despair and anxiety about life, and encourages thanksgiving, joyfulness, and boldness.
Yeah. Wow.
Like that hope changes our life.
Mm-hmm.
It also seems too like if our hope is in a perfect future, that we want to get ourselves as ready for that as we can. And I think that's the purifying, a little bit of that purifying nature is like, and that's what you talked about in your last point, was like we're becoming who we're going to become.
Yeah.
So let's be on that trajectory now.
Yeah, be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not earning the salvation. No. It's living out what you already have.
Yeah. And I like to think of hope too as, I mean, everybody anchors their life or roots their life in something. You know, whether you realize you are or not, it's like you're attaching your value, you're attaching your optimism, you know, everything. You're attaching to something. And the beauty of the gospel is that we just have the ultimate anchor, you know, in that, in God and what Jesus has done for us. And in particular, the incredible future that we have, you know, and if you anchor yourself there, I mean, it's just the most secure place that you can. And so that's just such a tangible hope, as opposed to like, I hope I get the promotion or, you know, which, I mean, these are good and important things, but if that's what you're anchoring your life to, you're going to be all over the place.
I remember, there was my junior year of high school, which is crazy for me to think because my daughter's going into her junior year, but it was a season of God revealing to me my identity and where my hope was.
I don't like those seasons.
Yeah, no, me either. And my in the fall, my best friend got a traumatic brain injury during a sporting event.
Yeah.
And ended up in Mary Free Bed for a long time and had to learn how to walk again and has real long-term memory issues. But God has been really good to him in his recovery. Mm-hmm. And so that happened. And then coming out of that fall season, I didn't make the basketball team my junior year, even though I'd started the JV the year before.
Yeah, wow.
And so it was really this season of like, who am I?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. And I don't know that I sorted it all out there, but I look back on that and see like that was God telling me like none of those things, like your friends, like sports, they don't give you like the value you need out of life.
Yeah.
And it was around then that I made some decisions that kind of, I wouldn't say like radically altered the trajectory of my life, but like set me on a course that I'm where I am today.
Yeah. Right.
And helped me really understand like what's reliable and what's not reliable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because I was just talking this through with one of my cousins who moved back to the state and just like, I don't know that I've ever really fully processed, you know, like, like what happened there, but I do know that God used it to talk to me about like, okay, what's hope? What's identity?
Yep.
Where are you really grounding yourself in and that kind of stuff?
That's really, really good. And I feel like, I mean, just to keep using the image of an anchor, there are seasons where it's like God cuts your anchors, you know, it's like if you picture a boat and like a, you know, a rope or a chain, like it, whatever you anchor yourself to, it just gets cut. And they're so, those seasons are so disorienting. And like you're describing, like sometimes they're a blessing, even though they're painful, because if you can recognize, like you're saying, like, okay, I'm anchoring in the wrong thing. And then if you can then set your anchor in the hope that you have in Christ, I don't like those seasons. Yeah. You look back on them with like, thank you for that. But in the moment, it's tough.
And I think like the hindsight of what, 25 years now for me-ish.
Yeah.
Feels more like a blessing than it did even the first 10 years.
Oh,
and
yeah, I'm
trying to navigate high school without your best friend now. And
Man, those are hard things.
I mean, he came back like 6 months later, but it wasn't the same person.
Wow.
And God's been really good to him. He's a great person, but he's not the same person he was before that. And so,
man, brains are just wild.
They are crazy. Yeah,
you've mentioned this anchor.
And
it reminded me of a verse in Hebrews that I read earlier this morning when I was looking up hope, and it's Hebrews 6, if I can find it here, 18 and 19. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure, and enters the inner sanctuary before the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf.
Wow.
Like that anchor never changes. Even when our bodies give way, our minds give way, our situations give way. And we've seen that hope like radically change people's lives. Like that, we get a front row seat to that.
Yeah.
I had coffee with a woman in the past couple of weeks that I've watched transform over the past few years. She came to Ada Bible, didn't know anybody, joined a group, could barely look anyone in the eyes when she walked into the building, was just shy and not confident in herself or her faith, but showed up. Like so huge. Like God takes those small steps of faith and has just blessed her incredibly over the past few years. And even though life is hard, there's still so many challenges. When she walks in, you can just visibly see she's a different person. Yeah. She looks you in the eye. She'll have conversation. And I will always remember the day she got baptized. Because when I first met her, she's not someone I ever thought would have been able to stand in front of people, let alone in such a vulnerable situation to get baptized, go under the water and come back up, and then let alone to tell her story. And when she said that she had moved from a life of continual fear to just faith and confidence, like that's it, the anchor for her soul. And we met up recently and she was just wanting to share about some recent challenges. And it just struck me, and I shared with her, you know, everything that you're sharing, Jesus experienced. Like that's what John says, you know, we saw, we touched, he was fully human. And because he was fully human, I was able to point her to the truth that like everything you're going through, he's experienced, you know, whether it's family struggle or being wrongly accused. We just listed out like five, six things. Mm-hmm. And she was like wide eyed, like, you're right. I'd never thought of that before. And that's the anchor, that our God came in human form to redeem us, but also experience everything that we have experienced.
Yeah. Wow. It's good.
It's the, there's a Christian author, I think, talks about like the resilient life available in Christ too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And just how, if we're anchored, right, you can withstand a storm and it can be a storm of like an internal storm about like lack of confidence in who you are. You know, it can be an external storm of someone attacking you. I think Willard talks about Christians should be the least offendable people on the earth because they're sure you said that bad thing, but do you know I'm God's kid? Like, that doesn't matter, you know, type of thing. And so they're really the resiliency that we're all kind of want in life to be stable is really found in our hope and what God says about us and what God promises about our future too. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so then that's how we can live pure, because we've already been given the position of purity.
Yeah.
And then that's that sanctification that grows throughout our life.
Yeah.
So, what a great series. This has just been phenomenal. These tests of our faith, and that we can walk away confident. Hope people will just continue to use the list and read First John. But so we won't see you again preaching till August.
Yeah. You've got that's July. That's true.
But I know you're still working. You tell us a little glimpse of what you can of behind the scenes, what we'd be doing in July, and then what we can look forward to in August and September.
Sure. Yeah. So my goal in July is kind of to work half days. I'm trying to mix like working ahead on sermons and then just some rest, you know, spending time with family and kind of gearing up for the fall. But the way that my rhythm works, and I learned this from Jeff, is that I will do my, I like to call it the homework, the research side of a sermon long before the week of the sermon. So like, for example, today I started doing commentary work, you know, reading scholars' writings on the book of Acts, because we're going to do a series on Acts 2 and just kind of the early church, the nature of the church, you know, what is the church, what was the church about then, what should it be about today, you know? So yeah, I've started studying that, and I'll be outlining those sermons. I'll be working on the fall series. We're going to do this epic sweep through the Old Testament.
It's going to be great.
I'm even working on next fall's series, because I would like to, we'll see how geopolitics go, but I would like to film in Israel for that series, which, you know, that would be much sooner than fall of 2026, just the way it all works. So yeah, I'm doing a lot of morning study and then probably riding my bike and hanging out with my kids. And
that study is hard work. Like I know I've got a limit of like 3-4 hours, and I'm like, I don't think I can read one more commentary.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Yeah.
But it's really important though, because I think sometimes people who, you know, you look at a job and it always looks easier from the outside, right? But it's not that you're just dedicating your week to it. You've spent months ahead preparing and thinking about sermon series and getting into the individual sermons, doing the work so you don't say anything that's heretical.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. You know, you're teaching the Bible, you want to get it right. So, and I mean, I think everybody cares about their work, you know, wants to do great work. And for me, part of that is making sure that I'm accurate to, and some of that too, is just the collaborative conversations that we have, just, you know, hey, I think this is what it's saying. What do you think? And also Jeff, you know, Jeff and I will be sharing that series on the church and the fall series. And so we collaborate. We just met for lunch today and we were talking through some of that stuff. And of course he's got 1 billion years of experience doing this. So he's got some things worth listening to, as you can imagine. So
that's great. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you again in August and then back here in September when we start the podcast out. But thanks again. It's been a great series and thanks for carving out time to join us.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Well, that was a fun conversation with Aaron to wrap up. You guys got a lot. My job is always like to rein you all back in.
Yeah. You do a really good job with it, though. Thank you for taking the lead on this and pulling it all together. And
it's the older sister role. You're used to just, you know, right, redirecting. And I feel like I know how that goes.
And I, as the younger brother, I just try to catch you off guard all the time. So that's it.
Mainly. You have succeeded this season multiple times. But it was fun to hear what's coming next as Aaron's talking about his study. And just encourage you to be praying for Aaron and Jeff as they are studying and getting ready for these big fall series and for next year. It's always interesting to see how Aaron can be in three or four different series at a time doing that study and work. So be praying for him, for his rest and refreshment and study throughout July. And then Pastor Jeff will be back this weekend starting a series called Taking Jesus Seriously on the Sermon on the Mount. And I know, like, we love the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, I think we've both become attached to it. And the more you sit in the Sermon on the Mount, just the more powerful it becomes. And our men, I think one of the reasons I became attached to it over this past year was the men did the Sermon on the Mount this past year, and I helped them write that curriculum. We worked on it together and just so transformative.
Well, and my favorite book is The Divine Conspiracy, other than the Bible. I feel like I have to say that, right?
Yes.
But it's true. But it's The Divine Conspiracy, and that's where Dallas Willard just talks about the implications of the Sermon on the Mount and how it's not just like this like moral teaching.
Yeah.
It's a revolutionary way to live life and how it's about heart change and not just a new law. And so I'm excited to hear Pastor Jeff jump into it.
Yeah, so we'll get that through the month of July. And then Aaron talked about what he's got coming up in August. And speaking of Jeff, we were just talking about how we never got to talk about the culture of the Ephesians that this letter of 1 John would have been written to. And you brought up that Pastor Jeff had put this in a sermon, and we just looked it up on our website. We'll put the link from like 2010.
Yes.
Which kudos for remembering that.
What's amazing is I wasn't even here then.
You weren't?
No, that was before my time, but I've heard about it so much. Yeah. And he's referenced back to some of the elements of it that it's kind of like in my brain become this like formative moment of understanding how he looks at the scripture and how he views culture and things like that. And
so I think that sermon's called The Power of Identity. And it's very much related to everything that Aaron talked about this week. And the Ephesians in their culture, they were known in their city for child abandonment, exposure, I think they called it. And I think Jeff talks about that in that sermon of how the Christians were known for taking these infants in, and it was morally acceptable to set a child out for exposure for any reason, just because she was a girl or there was something you didn't like about the baby, and just see what happens. And Christians were known for taking those children in and raising them and caring for them. So it's really powerful when you think about when John says, see what great love the Father has lavished on you. And you think of people who probably didn't know who their birth parents were.
Right.
Know they have been abandoned, adopted and brought into a family. And now here they are part of God's family as they've accepted Jesus. And he's saying that you would be called children of God. And that is what you are. When you think of that, and this is what Jeff talks about in that sermon, that the most important thing about you isn't who abandoned you or who kicked you out or rejected you, but who brought you in. So it's just powerful when you think of that original setting of what that would mean to people.
And it's just very different than what we think of when we think of adoption and how, like, you know, what in Oedipus Rex, I think Jeff references that it's a king abandoning a child for some reason, like a birthmark or something like that. And so the abandonment was often like, there's something about this child that maybe is an inauspicious sign or something like that. And so they would, or there was somebody like said something. And so they would put this child out and they didn't kill them, but I mean, they just kind of were leaving it up to the fates to decide. Mm-hmm. And Christians were like, well, we value human life. We're going to come in and rescue these kids and raise them as our own.
Yeah, it's so powerful to think about. And that when John says, you know, you're children of God, he's using that legal adoption language that God has brought you into his family. So we'll put that link in that sermon. It could be fun to watch and see Jeff from 2010 and Ada Bible from 2010 and just that truth about who we are. And then, so what do we have coming this fall? We will be back for the podcast in September, but in August, there's a whole lot going on. Not only that sermon series on the church, but ministry things too.
Yeah, I mean, August is kind of our ministry kickoff, and it is really the time where we're kind of getting out of that Michigan summer where it's like, we got to maximize these. Now, for those of us as you have kids in school, you got 2 months to maximize, right? Like, we're going everywhere, we're doing everything, we're on the water, we're traveling up north, and then we settle back in as the school year kicks off. And it's a great time to invite a friend. Mm-hmm. We know that a lot of people like are reorganizing their life around the school calendar, or just even rhythms. And that's the time to start getting back to church and invite a friend to church. We're also kicking off like our men's and our women's couples groups. And so that's the time to jump into those groups. And also, it's a great time if maybe you have taken a break from serving for the summer, or you've never served before. Now is the time to get started, because you can get started kind of serving with this wave of momentum.
Yeah.
And so it really is. And I'm thinking about, we've talked throughout this series about confidence and some of the implications mm-hmm. of being confident. And some of it's like, be in community, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what this fall with community kickoff, you know, and growing together is all about. We talked about serving each other and how we can do that from a place of generosity, because we know the God who rescued us was generous. And so that's an opportunity for us to jump in and serve and care mm-hmm. for each other and really model what it means to be the body of Christ. And then if we really do believe that the most important thing that can ever happen to somebody is for them to love Jesus and understand that they can be adopted, like, we can invite them
yeah.
to church with us, where they're going to hear the good news of the gospel and mm-hmm. what it means. And so I would just encourage us, like, let's not waste the opportunity in yeah. front of us this fall, but let's go into a, you know, full bore.
We both worked in groups before we were in our current roles. And I know we could tell story after story of people who've been transformed by taking that step to join a group yeah. or inviting someone. And I'm thinking of a couple women who joined groups several years ago. And this one woman from Ada Bible, she had invited her coworker, I think for 4 years in a row mm-hmm. to join a group with her, and kept getting a no or an excuse. And then on year five, that coworker joined yeah. her, and they just had this transformative time together. And we just watched this woman become so filled with joy. And so I just encourage you, even if you've invited someone in the past, this could be the year. Invite again. Don't be afraid of that no or not right now, but keep trying, keep inviting and welcoming people in.
And I also want to tell another story. My daughter's in Lifeline, and just had some inconsistent leader things going on. And so my wife spent a year praying that God would bring about a leader, mm-hmm. the right leader for that group. And over the past last year, somebody stepped up in the fall. And so I would say, you don't know who's praying for you to step yeah. into service either. And so you might be the answer to somebody's prayer, just like Sophia's leader was the answer to my wife's year-long prayer, mm-hmm. and really have seen God work through that answered prayer over the course of the year too.
So powerful. Yeah. I love that. And we hear those stories all across the church. So we look forward to seeing you throughout the summer in July and August. And then September, we'll be back September 10th as we launch the Old Testament series. And just a fun note, the men and women this fall, their on-campus groups are going to be doing a study called Unstoppable God. Mm-hmm. Men and women will be doing the same study for the first time. And it's going to be about the life of Moses, looking at 11 different episodes in Moses' life, how we see God's faithfulness and his power. So it kind of will pair with the Old Testament series, but they're going to spend their whole time looking at Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy with the life of Moses. So we're excited. So I encourage you to check that out and join us this fall. But until then, until September 10th, we are grateful for you. Thank you for joining us. And we just want to pray that you will remember the great love the Father has lavished on you, that you should be called the child of God. And that is who you are. So live in that identity and live it out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you in September.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Ada Bible Church Beyond the Weekend podcast. We pray this conversation was helpful and encourages you throughout the week as you seek God's help to grow in His Word. You can find all resources mentioned in this episode in the show notes, including a link to this week's sermon and the current sermon series. We hope you'll join us next time for the Beyond the Weekend podcast.